Welcome to another Sports Central. I'm Rick Drewer.
I'm Phil Fechner.
Well, Phil, what have you got for us today?
Well, you know, we're not really boxing fans, Rick. I know that.
I'm certainly not a boxing fan, but...
Yeah, old mate Jeff Horn, who won that world title a couple months back now, he's won the highest award possible. It's called the Don Award.
The Don Award.
Yeah, he was presented with that, I believe, last night. So, yeah.
Well, good on him for, I guess, being presented with it. I'll be a little bit political, and I basically, to be truthful, object to boxing. Any activity where the best performance you can do is to render someone unconscious seems to me not to be part of the definition of sport.
Yeah, but, well, I mean, footy's the obvious, isn't it? I mean, anything high is a high tackle, and they can get suspended for it, and there they are just belting the living bejeevers out of each other.
Yes. Anyway, so I guess we've mentioned it, and good luck to him. Personally, I'd ban the sport, to be honest, but there you go.
Yeah, fair enough. We won't go on about it. What about the Redbacks? They've come good.
They've won another game. They got up yesterday, I believe, by about 11 runs and beat the Vics.
Yes. I see Lehman made 63 not out off of 25 balls, and Valenti was the other one that made some runs, 36 off 17. So that's good start for young Jake Lehman.
Yeah, it is, and Valenti's the one who's been keeping us in the game, actually.
Yeah, he made runs in even the game we lost to...
Correct, and... He looks as though he might be quite a useful all-rounder. He obviously is quite happy with the bat, and he's a good bowler. So let's hope he does as well in the Shield season when it starts.
Yeah, I mean, that's a different ball game, isn't it, as you'd know, Rick? It's chalk and cheese, the one-dayers and 20-20s and whatever.
Yeah, there's really no measuring stick there at all. The very fact that, and it's great, you know, you've got to play the game, whichever version of it, to the conditions, but you know, you won't get Lehman scoring 63 off of 25 balls in a Shield game, but it's nice, and it'd be, I think they still have to win the next game before they actually will qualify for the final, but they're second at the moment, so
yeah, going along quite nicely. Yeah. So you know, might be a half a decent season even in the one day series if we don't do that.
Yes.
Well, in the longer version. Yeah. Of the game. And the Aussie cricketers, Rick.
Well, dear me.
Without Smith, the captain.
That's right. Well, you know, he's home. And and Travis Head's done the normal trick, getting another 40-odd and obviously helped us win the game. I just would love to see him make something more than about 40 or 50. But, again, it's one-day cricket. But they've won, which is great.
Yeah. I mean, that's levelled the series.
It has indeed, I think. Yes. Yeah.
So, that's good for them too.
Yep. Again, it's not really a measuring stick as to how well we're going to go in the Test Series against England, because not only is it a different opposition, but it's different conditions. But winning beats losing all the time.
Okay, well, that's enough of the cricket too. I think we've skipped along. What about Ange Postecoglou? I can't even say the name.
Just stick with Ange,
well,
I think.
Yeah, so. Ange will go Ange.
Well, it's very interesting. One of the things that I love soccer, first of all. I absolutely adore the game. It is the world game. And it just never ceases to amaze me where Australian soccer seems to go up and down like a yo-yo. I went to a garage sale over the weekend and saw a yo-yo. I'd forgotten what they looked like. But anyway, just when you think that Australia is sort of getting ahead, all of a sudden they almost shoot themselves in the foot again. And for Ange to have announced or threatened that after the next two games he's out of there, there's got to be something going on behind the scenes yet again.
Very close to going after the last game, evidently. But now they're talking, I heard on the radio this morning, I was listening, coming in at Sparrows very early in the morning, isn't he? They're talking Aloisi.
Well, yes. I mean, I guess they're talking anything at the moment, because there's a cleft stick there in the fact that Ange has not actually resigned, and yet it seems as if it's a foregone conclusion that he's going to. But, of course, it's a bit like appointing someone when there isn't actually a spot for him to be appointed to as yet, officially. But they were but one ricochet on the wrong side of the post of missing out the other night. They had a million opportunities, most of which they squandered, and then they were very, very fortunate not to have gone to 2-2 with that last shot at goal that the Syrians had. And of course, that would have meant that the Syrians went on because of away goal difference. So, yeah, they're not on fire at the moment.
I missed the game myself, but I must ask you, Timmy Cahill, he was 37 years of age, you know, and they said he was just unbelievable.
He was. And one of the things that intrigues me is that Ange didn't play him in the first leg away. Now, no one has really asked the coach why he chose not to play him at all. And I would anticipate one of the reasons might be, oh, well, it was very hot in those conditions away. However, he chose to play him the other night and played him for the whole 120 minutes, including, of course, the extra time. So, you know, maybe if he'd played in the first leg, he might have scored over there, which counts for 2 goals, away goals, and it mightn't have ever got to the point that it got to the other night. And I think, to be honest, we were very lucky to survive. So, I don't know. You just don't know with soccer.
I mean, that must put him in our very best players ever to play for Australia, surely.
Well, the fascinating thing is that Ange himself says he is the best player ever to have played for Australia. And so that's what makes me question why he didn't at least play him for some period of time in the game. Mm. The first leg against Syria. But there you go. That's
unreal, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a bit hard.
Okay, we'll move along again.
What about your game of tennis, Phil?
Oh, our old mate, hey? Old Nick Kyrgios again.
Hey, he loves China, doesn't he?
You know, evidently, I didn't see the final of the one he lost a couple of weeks ago, but he virtually threw that too.
Yeah.
They said, you know, he went down in straight sets, but this one was only one set and he walked off. He had a stomach ache.
Yeah, and $40,000, Phil, you know, I mean, it's a lot of money to you or I, but to him, that's
He'd have that in his back pocket
any given
time.
That would be
time.
Loose change from McDonald's or something. And, you know, there's only one way you're going to solve the problem with this bloke, if there is a solution, and that's to wipe him out for 12 months.
Oh,
so
absolutely.
He's got no income or something at all.
Yeah, I mean
that's he's an embarrassment. I heard someone on the radio the other day say that if they had one choice, that he wouldn't be able to call Australia home because he's an embarrassment to Australia's sporting image. And I couldn't agree more, to be honest.
I mean, what are you ever going to remember him as? No. Just a guy that walks off. You know, when the going gets tough, he just walks off. That's all you're ever going to remember him. You're not going to remember him as a great tennis player, which he is.
Yeah.
He is. Yeah. But
I think the thing that, above all, that sums up him and his behaviour is that he shows no respect for anyone, no respect for his opponent, no respect for umpires, no respect really for himself, and certainly no respect for the supporters.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the paying public that really, I've said it on the show before, just annoys me. Little Johnny coming to see him play, you know, and he's walked off. Oh, Mum, where's he gone? Oh, well, Mum would have to tell a little white lie because, you know.
He certainly is the absolute opposite to a sporting role model, isn't he?
Well, we've given that enough airplay too, I think. Yep. So we'll just go to a little bit of Aussie rules footy. Mm-hmm. I just heard yesterday, I was heading home, and you know that they've got the Aussie team coming up to play Ireland, a two-match series.
Yes.
What do you reckon they'd get a game to play that?
Oh, you'll have to tell me.
$20,000 each.
Is that right?
To play each game. So that's $40,000 for the two games. It's not a bad coin, is it?
Well, it's not really, I suppose. That's,
you know, you'd represent your... I'd do it for nothing, but anyway, because ability, lack of ability I have.
Yeah, that might eliminate you from the contest.
Yeah, but I was dumbfounded. I thought, you know, you put it to the whole team, it starts adding up, doesn't it?
There you go.
I suppose there's plenty of money in footy.
There's a lot of money.
And I know you got some bit of news there with the draft movement. And
I was just staggered that... they were giving a lot of airplay to Josh Marnie, the Port Adelaide footballer, who now is the guru of administration at the Melbourne Football Club, and he's been praised for his efforts in getting Lever there. And then I discovered, with a bit of help from Michelangelo Rucci, that the statistics for that Port Adelaide 2004 Premiership team of achievements after it are quite staggering. And I'll just quote him a little bit, because this is quite mind-boggling, that there's 15, that's amazing number, of Port's 2004 Premiership team. that have taken up key roles in football since their retirement. There's nine of them as senior or assistant coaches: Damien Hardwick, Stuart Jew, Brenton Lade, Brett Montgomery, Josh Carr, Chad Corns, Jared Schofield, Dean Brogan, and Adam Kingsley. There's three that have gone into football departments: Marnie himself, Matthew Bishop, and Michael Wilson. Darren Wakelin is on a board. And, of course, there's two majors in the media. That's Kane Corns and Warren Treadray. So that's a pretty amazing...
That's unbelievable. It is, isn't it? I never really thought of it that way. All out of that...
One football team.
Wow.
No wonder Porter what they are.
Yeah. What a great side, hey? What about some of the drafts? How do you see that?
Well, I think we're heading in the right direction, in the sense that obviously the Lever thing was signed, sealed and delivered ages ago. I think Port, although Impey's an incredibly fast, brilliant when he's got the ball, footballer, I don't think he fits into the Port pattern. And I think Port moving him on to Hawthorn, and the way Hawthorn play, I think he could be a very good player for Hawthorn.
Yeah, he just didn't develop how we wanted at Port. So good luck to him. I hope he does well.
I hope he does very well. And if anyone's going to get the best out of him, it's got to be Clarko.
Oh, yeah. He's a good coach.
He is a good coach.
My word,
he is.
What about Watsy? I'd like to see him at Port. I think another tall forward is what we need.
Well, it looks as though we might get him now. I think the way the movement is, and there doesn't seem to be a huge issue with salary cap, and he could be that extra big bloke that Port Adelaide need up forward.
Hmm. But anyhow, time will tell whether we get him.
That's very true. I think that's probably a good move. I'm not sure about Motlop and where he's going to go. I think I said last show he's not worth $600,000 to any club, to be honest. Yeah. He did play a couple of good games for Geelong in the finals, but it's easy to forget what his overall minor round season was like, and it was pretty average, actually.
Yeah, he had to play those couple of decent games because I think he would have found himself dropped, and then all of a sudden your $600,000 goes to,
Exactly.
Half.
Now, admittedly, all clubs are looking for people who can perform well on the big stage, and as we've had illustrated, not having a go at them, that we found out that there's a fair few number of the Crows who didn't, but that doesn't mean that Motlop's going to turn that on week after week.
No, that's exactly. Inconsistency is his forte, really, isn't it?
And it always has been.
Yeah. Now, just getting back to the footy again, we're still in the footy. You overheard a supporter at the footy the other week.
Tell us about that one. I heard this bloke. He was absolutely upset and disgruntled. And he looked at the coach and said, "They must be on drugs." And you ever guess what the coach's reply was?
You tell me.
Well, it certainly couldn't be speed.
Boom, boom.
Boom, boom.
There we go.
Dear.
We've probably just about done our time today, Rick, I reckon.
That's been good fun because we've covered a whole multitude of sports.
Half a dozen sports in there.
And there's a bit of interest around at the present time all over the place with not only the AFL draft, but our dear friend's tennis performance and behaviour. Mm. And saying he's out of here, as it were. The Redback's on their way. And the Don Award. There you go.
I'll only be a couple of secs. Just thinking of my four mates that got in a head-on crash at the bowls. They were heading to bowls on Monday, and they had a real nasty accident, and they're all still in hospital, so I just wish them all the best. And, they're in their 60s, 70s, they're fighting okay. They're going to be all okay, but, just a bit bashed up.
The very best for all of them, yes. It's very sad when you hear things like that. Well, this is Rick.
This is Phil.
And we'll say goodbye until next time.